If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Genesis 1, right at the start of your Bible. Please keep your Bible handy because we're going to be turning to other passages by and by. But from the start, Genesis 1, verse 1, reading the first three verses. You'll know these verses off by heart, I'm sure. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And amen. It'll make sense why we read that in a moment or two. This is the last Sunday of 2018, the last message of 2018. And I think it would be fair to say that in my family, we approach New Year very differently. You see, my wife, Leslie, loves Christmas and does not really like the New Year, whereas I am no big fan of Christmas, but I love the New Year. I always find a new year is a time to assess. It's a time to take stock. I enjoy revisiting the highs and even the lows of the last 12 months and start to appreciate how fortunate I am compared to many people in the world and many places in the world that you could live. And so the next few days for me will be good, but not so good for my wife, huh? Now, I'm not naive, and as we look over the past 12 months, we could all agree, I'm sure, that we are living in dark and evil days. And we could think of many things, and, you know, I'm not thinking so much of the national tragedies. I think of the California fires, 1.3 million acres burnt up, 8,500 separate fires, cost over 91 lives back in July and August, and then there was a flare-up just last month in November again, and they had to start fighting the fires once more. Dark days. I'm not even thinking so much of the Indonesian earthquake and the tsunami back in September, cost 844 lives, and they're still counting because there's people missing. And just last week, the volcano erupted again, and there was a tragedy again, costing more lives. I'm not even thinking so much of Brexit and all the problems that come with Brexit or renewable heat scandals or lack of government. No, I'm thinking of other things on top of all of that. I'm thinking of the moral decline of our nation. I'm thinking of the demand for abortion on demand. I'm thinking of the destruction of the family unit. I'm thinking of the gender fluidity that is being demanded now. I'm thinking about the promotion of homosexuality. And as we look around, we could agree, I think, that we're living in dark, dark days. And as I pondered over some of these things that happened over the past 12 months, my mind turned to dark days that we find in the Bible. Dark days in the Word of God. And I want to see how God reacted in dark days. And see if he could move in such a way today. And here in Genesis chapter 1, we have the first dark day that I want to mention to you. We find in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And we find that whenever there was darkness, we read that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This first chapter of our Bible is one of the most God-centered chapters in all of Scripture. God is mentioned by name 32 times in 31 verses. It's steeped in divinity. It's steeped in God. In these first words of Scripture, we have God's answer to Darwinism, to Greek mythology, to Eastern mysticism. He says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And there's no surprise that Satan hates this chapter. It is no surprise that he does all that he can to discredit Genesis 1 in the minds of the people. Satan has drawn up all his heavy artillery to discredit Genesis 1 in the minds of the people. The best that Satan has come up with in all his years of trying is that this complex, intricate ecosystem with its diversity and interdependence all happened by chance. That's the best that he's come up with. He calls it a fluke, an explosion, a big bang, if you will. And it automatically all came together. And they argue that it is a sort of natural selection. The best survives and the worst die out. And that is how it's developed over billions of years. But of course, such arguments are easily refuted because many of our complex body parts, like the eye, for example, have no function except in its final form. And evolution, if it was correct, would have no reason to develop an eye over billions of years with no benefit along the way until its final form. And so there are lots of arguments, and the arguments come and go. The debate goes on. But it doesn't change Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It reminds us tonight that there is a God in heaven. He is a God of purity and power. He is a God who hates sin and loves righteousness. He is a God who knows you as an individual. He's a God who knows your sin and knows your struggles and knows your fears. This is a God who loves you. This is a God who's provided a Savior to cleanse from sin and to free you from the bondage that it brings in your life. This scene in Genesis 1 is one of chaos. The earth is without form and void. It is filled with darkness. What happened? The Spirit of God moved. And dear friend tonight, that is always the answer to spiritual darkness. When there is spiritual darkness, whether at creation, or whether the darkness that is in our society, or whether it's the darkness in the human life without God, the answer to that darkness is the Spirit of God must move. There is no other solution. There is no answer. And just as we find in Genesis 1 to 3, whenever the earth was without form and void, there was darkness over the land, the Spirit of God moved. And in our society, as we see the darkness all around us, we need the Spirit of God to move. As we see the evil and the darkness of the human heart, it takes the Spirit of God to move. It's the only answer. And so we're going to have a week of prayer, as we have every start of the year. Why? Because we are crying that the Spirit of God will move. That's why we pray at home. Because we want the Spirit of God to move. And if you're not a Christian tonight, and not concerned, and it's not even on the radar of your thoughts, it is because the Spirit of God hasn't moved, or you have not responded to the moving of God in your life. And if you're not a Christian, and you are concerned, if you're not a Christian, but you are anxious and fearful and worried about eternity, that is because the Spirit of God is moving in your heart. Maybe you didn't even know it. Maybe you couldn't even have put a word against it, but that's what's happening. That's why you feel convicted. That's why you feel concerned. That's why you're worried about what lies beyond the grave. The Spirit of God is moving. So Genesis 1, 1 to 3, the darkness And the Spirit of God moved. We're praying that even in this service tonight, in the darkness of your soul, that the Spirit of God will ignite your thinking. It will move in your heart, move in your mind. The Spirit of God moved. Let's turn to another dark day. This time we're moving to the New Testament, and it's Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We're at Calvary. What a dark day this was. Matthew 27, we're breaking into the reading at verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them which stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Genesis 1, a day of darkness. The Spirit of God moved. Here's another day of darkness. And the Son of God died. What a dark day. The Son of God died. The Lord Jesus carries his cross out of Jerusalem to Golgotha, the place of a skull. This was a unique event in history. This was a pivotal moment in history. This was the dividing line of history. This was the demarcation line, the death of Jesus Christ. This was unique. Not only another cruel crucifixion, not only another human tragedy, not only another family devastated, this was God the Son dying. This was the perfect Lamb of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who had been from the beginning of time, who will be at the end of time. Here he is dying. This 33-year-old man who had never sinned, was without fault, was without accusers. What a day. Darkness. Darkness in Genesis, the Spirit of God moved. That's vital. A day of darkness in Matthew 27, the Son of God died. What a moment. What a dark day. This is unique in cruelty. But more importantly, it's unique in compassion. Because whenever the Lord Jesus was on that cross, he was dying for you. He was taking your place. He was taking your punishment. He took your sins and made them his very own. He was dying for you. In those hours of darkness, those 3 years of darkness, God placed upon his darling sin the punishment for sin. Amazing. All the sins that you can remember and all the sins you can't remember. All the sins that you feel guilty about and the sins you don't feel guilty about. And you justify them. The sins of thought, the sins of word, the sins of deed, all the sins of all the people, of all the generations, of all the countries of the world, placed upon the Son of God, and the debt was paid in full. That's why he shouted, "It is finished." That's why he came that first Christmas. What love, what provision, what a sacrifice. Dark days. Dear friend, as we go into a new year, as we look around us and see the dark days all around us, Genesis 1 tells us we need to see the Spirit of God move. Matthew 27, we need to preach that the Son of God died. He took our sins. He took our punishment. He died that we might be forgiven. Let's turn to another day. We're going to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We'll start at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a dark day. Genesis 1, a dark day of creation, and the Spirit of God moved. Matthew 27, a dark day at Calvary, and the Son of God died. Here in Colossians, a dark day, and the salvation of God is applied. Did you see it? Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath transported us, translated us, moved us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is a different kind of darkness. I think we could agree with that. In creation, the darkness was physical. At Matthew 27 at Calvary, the darkness was physical. But here in Colossians chapter 1:13, it's spiritual. This is a spiritual darkness. It's the power of darkness. This is the darkness that blinds a person to their need of a Savior. This is the darkness that numbs you to the urgency of the gospel. This is a darkness that makes you feel you can manage without salvation and without God in your life. This is a darkness that makes you think that the Christians have got it wrong and you've got it right. This is a darkness that makes you feel that everything is okay when it's not okay. A spiritual darkness. The Lord Jesus said in John 3:19, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's the idea here. A spiritual darkness in the soul. Christian, you know what it's like. You're trying to witness to that person that you love, maybe in your own family. And even as you witness to him, you can see the blank look in their eyes. Huh? You can see it. You can see it's not making sense to them. They're not aware of it. It's just going in one ear and out the other. And you feel like shaking them. And you feel like trying to get them somehow to waken up to their need. And it's just blank. The spirit of darkness. This is the spirit of darkness. Whenever you put a tract through the door, they look at it and they give a swear word and throw it in the bin. I was hearing about a church in Belfast, they were giving out calendars around the area. The next day there was a storm. As they were going down, all the bins had fallen over, and they were shocked at the numbers of calendars that were just in the bin. Thrown out. Spirit of darkness. Creation in the darkness. The Spirit of God moved. We need the Spirit of God to move. Matthew 27, that day of darkness, the Son of God died. Oh, there is an answer. There is a Savior. There is hope. There's one who's paid the price. And here, this spirit of darkness in Colossians 1, the salvation of God is applied. There is a cure for such darkness. There is a formula for putting such darkness behind us. There is a light at the end of this dark tunnel. If you stay in darkness, if you stay with the spirit of darkness, you end up in a lost eternity. You end up in hell and judgment. But praise God, there is a wonderful solution. God can deliver us, save us, lift us out of the power of darkness and move us, translate us into the kingdom of light. And we could have lots of testimonies up here tonight of people telling about how God moved in their life and how God saved them. But here's really what happened. God lifted them out of the darkness, the spiritual darkness, and translated them into the kingdom of light. Amazing. The salvation of God is applied. We have a problem in our country, as you know, with illegal immigration. Some people desperate to get in. Paying for wee dinghy boats. And they're piling the people in high risk during the night. Trying to get into the country. Maybe people coming on a tourist visa. And they've no intention of leaving after it expires. They're here to stay. Now, please, I'm not criticizing them. If I lived in some of these countries and had nothing, I might be one of their number. I'd do anything to get out. Would you not? If my children were starving in a war situation, somehow you look across and you see a land that seems to have so much, and people throw away so much in their bins, and they seem to have everything. I tell you, you'd do it, wouldn't you? And our Home Secretary has cut short his luxury holiday to come home to deal with the matter. And if you travel to America, you have Donald Trump building his wall between America and Mexico. People are trying to get in. People are longing to come into the place of plenty. You know, whenever it comes to spiritual things, people try all kinds of means to get into the kingdom of light. They see it. They think, "My, it must be wonderful to have that peace that all is well for eternity and know that your sin is covered and know that all is well when we die. It must be great. I'd love to get into that country, that kingdom of light." And so they try in many ways. Some try coming to church. Doesn't work, of course. Some try clean living. New Year's resolutions. I'm not going to swear anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. And doesn't work, you know. There's only one way to enter the kingdom of light. And that is for the Spirit of God to move. And because the Son of God died. And we repent and we trust Him. He lifts us out of the kingdom of darkness. And He translates us, He transports us, He births us into the kingdom of light. Only way to do it. Everybody else has stopped at the border. Everybody else has stopped. They can't get in. Whenever I was young, I think maybe it was about 5. I wrote a letter to my granda. My granda Noble, that's my mum's father. Lived in Bangor. I was only 5. P1 or P2. By the time I'd finished the letter, well, you'd think a dog had written it. There was wee pictures and there was scribbles and the envelope, nobody could have read it. I did my best. You know what my mum did? My mum took my letter and the envelope and she wrote an envelope to my granddad. And she put my letter and my envelope that was bad, and she put it into her envelope and sealed it and sent it to my granddad. Huh? You see, the postman only looks at the outside. And because he only looks at the outside, which was my mum's writing, it meant that my wee envelope and my wee letter got to my granddad. And you see, whenever I became a Christian, my life was a mess. I was a sinner through and through. I wouldn't spend time to tell you all the things that I used to do. But whenever the Spirit of God moved, and the Son of God died, and I trusted Him and gave Him my life, God put me and my mess inside Jesus Christ. I was in Him. And that means I'm going to heaven, because they only look at the outside, and the outside is Christ, and I'm hidden in Him. Isn't that good? He lifted me from the power of darkness, put me in Christ, and translated me into the kingdom of light. My time is gone. Let me fit in just one more. Let me just read it to you. It's found in the wee book of Jude. There's only the one chapter in Jude, but verse 13 says this. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wow, that's a dark day. Let me read that again. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Genesis 1, a dark day, the Spirit of God moved. We need the Spirit of God to move. Matthew 27, Calvary, a dark day. The Son of God died. He paid the price. He took our sins and made them His very own. Hallelujah. Colossians 1, the power of darkness. The salvation of God is applied. He can lift us out of the power of darkness when we put our trust in Him, and He can translate us, lift us out of the darkness of sin and transport us into the kingdom of light. That happens even tonight if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you repent of your sin and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, you can be translated, you can be transported into the kingdom of light. Ah, but here's another one. The book of Jude, darkness, a dark day, the sword of God settled. Sword of God. You see, if you ignore the gospel, your sin will not be overlooked. But rather you will be cast into utter darkness forever. I say, that's serious, isn't it? And it could just be that you're on borrowed time. You're in the very edge of eternity. And maybe before you know it, your wee heart will stop and it's sealed. And you will know the darkness of blackness forever. the sword of God settles it. I don't know if you like New Year. Maybe like me, you like to take stock and assess. Or maybe like my wife, you don't like the New Year. But remember, God is not helpless in dark days. God is not helpless in dark days. That's when He shines all the more. Creation's darkness, the Spirit of God moves. Pray that in that tonight and in the days that lie ahead, we will see the Spirit of God move. Calvary's darkness, Matthew 27, the Son of God died. Hallelujah. He came to take our place. Colossians 1, could we call it cultural darkness? The darkness of the soul, that spirit of darkness that blinds us to our need, the salvation of God can redeem. He can lift you out of that spirit of darkness and translate you into the kingdom of light. He can do it tonight for you. But if you ignore Him, you could face the sword of God and face the blackness of darkness forever. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? Dear friend, don't go down that road. The Spirit of God is moving. The Son of God has died. And the salvation of God can be applied if you repent and trust Him, so that you'll not face the blackness of darkness forever. May God help you to come.